journey into the Bible and explore its hidden text and rich wisdom. Join Adel Kazilski Mondays at 1 p.m. for the trip of a lifetime.
Mabua Tov, and welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. I am your host, Adel Kazilski, and we're here learning Torah together. Thank you for joining me. And as always, I always keep the lines open. Love to get feedback from you, not only when you're bashing to me at Kosher World or anywhere else, but even now online. We are talking about the Parsha of Yitro, the Parsha in which the Torah is given, and we are going through the Ten Commandments. We are on commandment number 4, which is the commandment around Shabbat. And we spoke a lot about it in the last 2 weeks, that we are told to remember the Shabbat and keep it holy. And we do that by doing sanctification rituals such as Kiddush and adding to our benching and saying Havdalah, and adding some of the mundane, some of the weekday into Shabbos. So we bring in Shabbos a little earlier and we let Shabbos go out a little bit later. But as we continued along the verses that the Torah speaks about when it comes to the keeping of Shabbat, it says, Uvyom Hashvi'i Shabbat LaHashem Elokecha, and the seventh day will be a Sabbath to Hashem your God. Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. You're not allowed to do work. And we started this whole discussion last week about what work means, because, you know, work means different things to different people. And most people think that work is when, you know, you're put under tremendous pressure and there's sweat pouring down your face and it's really hectic exertion. And that's what work is, or being, you know, tied to a job that starts at 6 in the morning, at 6 at night. It could very well be that all of these things are like hard work. But the Torah doesn't define work that way. Torah defines work, malacha, as something that is creative, as indulging in the physical world using it and changing it to make it into something else. That we are creative people. We are creative people. And probably one of the worst things, and we learned this actually from the slaves in Egypt, that when you give somebody to do something menial that has no purpose, that has no result, that is just work there to crush them, it is terrible on the psychology of the person. Okay. And that's what they said happened in Egypt, that they were given jobs that went nowhere, that produced nothing. And that is breaking. It's heartbreaking. A person can't function that way, because we are wired that we go out into the world and it doesn't matter who we are and what we do and what profession we have. When we go out in the world and we do our job well done, we have a sense of satisfaction. And that is creative work. Now, what happens on Shabbat, okay, is that we want to stop from that creative work. And so we have a whole lot of laws, 39 melachot to be exact, okay, where the Torah goes and says indulging in any one of these 39 categories of work is creative work, is work where you are going and you are changing the fabric of the world. And because Hashem rested on the seventh day, so shall you, and therefore you have to subsist from this. So the argument that most people give, well, switching on a light switch isn't work, you know, or, you know, watching my favorite rugby show isn't work on Shabbos, you'll get to understand as we go through all the laws what it is that we're not allowed to do. Now, the 39 melachot, these major categories, are a lot of them are agricultural. If you just take it on face value as the av melacha, the main category, the father category, you're going to go and say, well, I don't do those things. So, you know, that's got nothing to do with me. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to start going through the 39 categories and show you what is the av melacha, what is the main category, but then from that telling you what is called a tolada or the toldot, the children, the derivatives of it. Now, the derivatives and then even more the rabbinical infections that are put around the toldot, some of them known as mukta, allow us not to come to the point where we will do the av melacha. Okay, I have to state though, 100%, I am not a rabbi, I do not give psak halacha, I am giving you an overview of how the teachings work, what is the main category, what are some of the derivatives, but at all times, please consult an Orthodox rabbi. If you have a question, please do not go quotes and say, but Adel said. You can say, I heard Adel say, is this correct or is this wrong? Because different people also, different communities will hold subtly different one from another depending on minhag. So I am not giving you halachic dispensation. I am just helping you to see beyond just the actual letter of the law, the 39 melachot, to actually understand how Shabbat governs our lives. And one more thing before we start, which I think is important to mention, is that probably the best way to experience Shabbat is to keep Shabbat, because certain of the melachot let me say it like this. We would think that they're not applicable, or they're not 100%, or it doesn't make sense. And if we start trying to understand it of our own minds and trying to logically work out what's right and what's wrong, we will never be able to experience the full beauty of Shabbat. When you go and say, okay, I'm going to keep Shabbat, I don't understand everything, but I won't do anything that I'm not told to do. Okay. And one transitions through the 26 hours of the Shabbat. When Shabbat ends, it's actually quite unbelievable, and I marvel at it almost on a weekly basis, how relaxed, how different one feels going through the Shabbat. And that's the beauty of the Shabbat, is that it takes us from being human doings and makes us become human beings. We're just allowed to be. We're allowed to concentrate on things that we don't have the time for. We can't engage. Things are too hectic during the week. And by that, I mean our family, our friends, our shul, learning. And we actually get a much bigger perspective on the world. And we get to function in a zone that is incomparable to the rest of the week. I cannot wait for Shabbat. I'd like to hear from you. Does Shabbat talk to you that way? Do you find Shabbat an integral part of your life? What does Shabbat do for you? And if you are not a Shabbat keeper, what is keeping you from not observing the Shabbat? 34519 is our SMS line. Our WhatsApp number is 061-895-1019.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
Welcome back, and we're going to be starting to discuss the Av Melachot and the Toladot of Shabbat. That means the categories that of work that we cannot do on Shabbat and their derivatives. One more idea just before we get started. All these categories of work was based on how the Jews in the desert built the Mishkan, the tabernacle. So all these 39 Melachot are to do with the building of the tabernacle as well. Right, let's get stuck into it. And as I've said before, this list is not exhaustive. It is not every single derivative. It's a taste. I'm letting you taste and get to understand what it is all about. Okay, we have a whole lot of agricultural activities that we're not allowed to do, like planting, plowing, harvesting, and gathering. And I'm going to start discussing those with you. and show you how they work. So let's talk about planting. Obviously, planting means you're causing plants to grow. Now, what would that include? You're obviously not allowed to do any gardening on Shabbat, certainly not planting a tree, okay, or throw or placing flowering buds into water, or placing, say, a raw potato into water. That all falls under the category of planting. This is the one that I spoke about, placing flowering buds into water. That's an important one. So if you are going to give a gift to somebody for Shabbat and it is going to be a bunch of flowers, please take it before Shabbat, because if you rock up at the house with that bunch of flowers, besides now that it is muktzah, meaning that you cannot touch it, the person receiving it cannot and will not be putting it into a vase of water because of the prohibition of causing plants to grow. Obvious things like watering plants is not allowed. It is not an issue if it is on automation and it's run automatically. So if there is a sprinkler system in your complex or in where you live and it has a timer and it comes on and off automatically, that is not a problem. But you cannot go out and water plants. But having said that, then you also can't, for example, wash your hands over plants. It's called psik resa. So you can't go wash or pour water on your hands while you're staying on grass. And you can't go around pruning or clipping branches, because the reason why you prune something is because you want to cause new growth. So really, gardening is something that one cannot do, and one cannot cause plants to grow on Shabbat. Right, those are just a few. There's many, many examples. As I said, I'm just giving you a taste. We're also not allowed to perform the melacha of choresh, of plowing, of preparing the earth for planting. So we all know in the olden days, you used to have a horse and a plow, and a person used to walk behind the plow, and it would, you know, create the grooves, obviously, to allow one to put seeds in. Today, obviously, we use tractors, and so turning over the soil in any way is not allowed. Leveling the ground is not allowed. So you can't go take one of those garden forks and you know, like try and make smooth things over. You're not allowed to dig a hole. You're not allowed to remove stones from a garden, because that's then preparing the earth for planting. An interesting one that one has to worry about is pulling a heavy object along the ground, which inevitably digs up the earth, okay? Like yanking something across the grass, and it's tearing the grass and kind of like making that furrow that you don't want it to do. That is also part of planting. Now, fertilizing before planting is called choresh. After planting, it's called zroya. It's planting. So you can't go and put fertilizer on the plants. Now, if one is trying to smooth out the ground because one wants to play marbles or do anything like that, and you're sweeping, and that leads to the leveling of the earth, that is a derivative of plowing. So again, you can see here, there are many derivatives, but the derivatives are really around the garden or the field where you cannot plant, you cannot plow. Now, one of the other derivatives of this is one has to be exceedingly careful, particularly around Sukkot time, when one has built a sukkah. If you have built a sukkah, it's better to build a sukkah on a paved space, meaning like on a patio or on a bricked area, because you can get into trouble by having it on a grassy area. One, you can inadvertently spill your glass of water, and it will fall on into the ground and it will water the ground. The scraping of the chairs, pulling it, and you know, making marks in the grass can also be a problem. So those type of things need to be thought of, particularly when it comes to Sukkot. We have another melacha called kotzer. Kotzer is harvesting. Harvesting, we know, means that you are detaching a plant. So here, again, are a whole lot of things that we cannot do that are a derivative of harvesting. One is that one cannot mow the grass. Even if the cut grass is not needed, you can't, because that is an act of harvesting. One cannot ride a horse, because that may lead to the tearing off of a branch. One cannot climb a ladder which is leaning on a tree. One cannot swing on a swing that is tied directly to a tree where the rope and the seat are one unit. A hammock suspended from hooks on a tree may be used, because the tree is indirectly being used, because there's the hammock, the hook, and then the tree. So again, in the situation, if you do have a swing or a hammock outside, please speak to a rabbi to ensure that it is halachically permissible. For example, say your kids kicked a ball and threw it into the tree. You cannot remove an item caught in a tree. You cannot climb or use a tree which may lead to detach a branch. So if you have a bunch of naughty little boys that are your sweet darling sons or your son's friends, climbing trees on Shabbos is not allowed. You cannot hang an item on a tree branch. For example, say you wanted to hang, I don't know, something on a hanger outside. You cannot hang it on a tree branch, because it could easily break, and that would then fall into the melacha of harvesting or detaching a plant. You obviously cannot pick fruit. One cannot even come to smell attached fruit, because you might come to pick to eat it. So you've got to be very careful about that. A flower pot with holes is considered attached to the ground. Therefore, if you lift a pot plant that has a hole underneath, it is called detaching, and you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to detach a flower from a flower pot without holes, but you can smell flowers or other inedible plants, because you're not going to pick it. So if you are walking past a rose bush on Shabbos and you want to smell it, you can, because you're not going to go ordinarily and pick it and detach it. So those are some of the examples of harvesting, which is really detaching a plant. And you can see again the various rules and regulations around that. We then have the melacha of me'amer, which is gathering, which is collecting natural produce and putting it into a bundle. So, example, you are not allowed to put together a bouquet of flowers. You're not allowed to string figs. You're not allowed to pile into a wheelbarrow scattered fruit from an orchard. However, this me'amer, this gathering together, only applies to products that are grown. If, for example, your kids went outside and emptied out the Lego box, that can be gathered, because that is a manufactured product and therefore does not fall within the ambit of gathering, of me'amer, collecting a natural produce into a bundle. So that is an interesting one. We then have an av melacha called threshing. Now, threshing is when we separate a natural product from its natural container. For example, wheat from chaff, which means then, here are some of the things that we can't do. You cannot milk a cow because you are separating the milk from the cow. You're separating the natural product from the natural container. You cannot press grapes for juice or olives for oil. Not that I don't think anybody does that today, but just to understand the concept. Why? Again, because you're getting juice from grapes. You're taking, again, a natural product from its natural container. You can't squeeze, and here's something that you can apply to your Shabbos table. You cannot squeeze citrus fruits for juice. We are going to get to the halakha that you can cut a lemon and squeeze it over a salad or fish, but you cannot take a citrus fruit and, even if you use a manual contraption, move the fruit around so that you are making juice from it. Because again, here you are separating a natural product from its natural container. You cannot remove peas from an inedible pod. Again, there's that separation. And here's a very interesting one. If you have a tablecloth that is 100% cotton, you cannot wring out liquid absorbed on a cotton tablecloth. Now, that is something that is very practical, happens quite often. You're sitting at the Shabbat table, I don't know, somebody leans over, knocks something over, and it goes onto the tablecloth. What one cannot do is one cannot squeeze the liquid out of the tablecloth. One can gently put down some serviettes and allow the serviettes to absorb the moisture on its own, but you cannot go and squeeze any liquid absorbed from a cotton tablecloth. Zoyre is the next melacha, and that is the melacha of winnowing. Basically, what they used to do in the olden days is they used to use the wind to separate wanted from unwanted objects. So this is quite an enigmatic one, but for example, say that you had a mixture of nuts and their shells on a plate, and you want to just blow away the chaff of the nuts or the shell of the nuts, that you cannot do. And just by the way, in discussing all of these things, you can't get anybody else to do these things for you either, unless it is an exceptional rule. One then can ask a non-Jewish person to assist. But as a general rule, nobody in your family, meaning don't think it's okay to get your child to do it and not you, nobody in your family can do anything, and neither can a non-Jew do it for you, and neither can even an animal do such a thing for you. Now, here is a very big one, because we do them a lot, and that is the av melacha of borer, of selecting. Borer basically means separating desirable items from undesirable ones, or vice versa, when they are they're a mixture. So here is a very typical one. Okay, what happens with eating watermelon? Now, what is undesirable is the pips. What is desirable is the actual watermelon. So how can one do it? Most people hold that you can try remove the pips from your mouth while eating. So you're going to eat the piece of watermelon with the pips and have to spit them out, obviously, in a polite way. Some hold that you can shake the pips from the melon before eating, or otherwise remove the pips with the hand immediately before eating. You cannot sit and prepare a watermelon platter at 10 o'clock and serve it at 1 o'clock and remove the pips for the guests before then.
This is Mystical Text with Adil Kazilski.
We are discussing the melachot of Shabbat. We're talking about borer, selecting, i.e. separating a desirable item from an undesirable one or vice versa. So let's talk out more about this separation between desirable and undesirable. We need to avoid selecting bones from a fish on Shabbat, just as much as we have to be careful about the pips from a melon. So you can eat of the fish. So if you're eating a piece of fish, it's not good to look at the piece of fish and start removing the bones. Rather, eat the piece of fish and leave the bones behind. You can't remove wormy fruits. So if you have a bowl of fruits and some fruits are frot, you can't remove the wormy ones. You can and should select the good ones. Here's a very simple one. You therefore can't use a slatted or slotted spoon, meaning one that separates solids from liquids. So say, for example, you have a chicken soup, and the chicken soup has pieces of potato and carrot and all the delicious thing that you put in. You can't use one of those ladles of soup where once you put it into the soup, it drains all the liquid and you land up only with the solid. That is part of borer, of selecting. What happens if an insect lands in your drink? Are you allowed to take it out? The answer is you can take it out. Firstly, really, from a health perspective, I would throw the entire thing out. But if you're not too bothered about that, or you know, you're somewhere in the middle of the Kilimanjaro or the Kalahari Desert and that water is important to you, you can remove the insect from a drink, but you have to make sure that some of the liquid is taken out and put back again. Now, you also cannot pick out specific books or toys to be put away, meaning to arrange backwards and forwards. You've got to be careful with that. Well, if that is selecting, your question can also be asked as to what happens if I peel. Can I peel something? Because there again, you're taking something undesirable away from the desirable. Take an orange. Nobody's really going to, you know, dig into the orange peel or the nachi peel. When necessary, peeling for immediate use is permitted. So you can do that if it is for immediate use. The next of melacha is around grinding, meaning breaking down a substance into smaller usable pieces. And so you are not allowed to do the following. You can't grate potatoes on Shabbos. You can't grate anything, not only potatoes. Okay? You can't scrape dried mud off your shoes. You can't mix earth or sand with water. Just pouring in water is prohibited according to some opinions. So you can't prepare a mud cake or build something. Say you're on at the coast on Shabbat, your kid can't start building a sandcastle, basically. Here is something that is important for mothers, young mothers. You can't take a powdered cereal and move it from a thick mixture into a thin mixture ordinarily. If you have to do that, you have to do it with what's called a shinoi, with a change. And a change means that you don't do it in the ordinary way. If you're holding the spoon in your right hand, you will hold it in your left hand. If you use a fork, you will use a spoon, etc., etc. So one has to be careful around that. And it also applies, for example, to the mashing of a banana. You can't mash a banana in an ordinary way because that, again, will fall into the category of toichen, which is grinding and breaking down a substance into smaller usable pieces. Some opinions hold that, for example, a child and you want to give the baby some mashed bananas, that you can use the back of a utensil. There are some opinions that hold that it doesn't hold for banana, and that's why I tell you at all times, please consult your local rabbi. But one of the interesting derivatives of this main category of toichen, of grinding, of breaking down a substance into small usable pieces, is that we cannot take medicine. Because medicines were once prepared by grinding, and they may not even be taken today, except there are specific circumstances. If you are somebody that needs to take medication every single day, and that's what you do because you've got a heart condition or you've got diabetes or you've got something that you need to take tablets. There is an exception to the rule. Obviously, if somebody's really not feeling well, they can. But as a general rule, one cannot take medicines because medicines fall under the av melacha of toichen. We then have a melacha called meraked, which is sifting, which is basically separating mixed objects with a strainer. So one has to be careful. For example, when kids are playing in a sandpit and they're trying to remove pebbles from the sand and they're sticking it in a strainer and they're shaking it, obviously you can't throw anything into a strainer on Shabbat because you will be sifting it again. Vegetables can be cut with a knife into small pieces for immediate use, okay, because that you're taking the big vegetables and now you're making them small. By the way, sorry, that halakha belongs to grinding and breaking a substance into small usable pieces. I left that out. Apologies. Finally, there is the halakha of combining particles of liquid to form a dough of a paste. That has to do with the cereal and with the mixing of the earth with the sand and the water. So what you can see from all of these that I have told you is that there are a lot of agricultural things, plowing, harvesting, grinding, kneading, sifting, winnowing, selecting, threshing, which are all agricultural activities, but they have very practical activities in our day-to-day lives. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
And I think that that's going to wrap up the halachot that I wanted to bring to your attention this week. Again, I am reiterating very strongly, I am not a rabbi. I personally myself can and have been remiss on certain ideas in terms of keeping Shabbat. It's an ongoing process of learning, of understanding, of questioning. And if you did hear something today that you know brought up something for you, please contact a Orthodox rabbi and ask them to give you the halachic dispensation or direction that you require. This was just for educational purposes, and it's very, very important to understand that we need to rely on our rabbis for that halachic guidance. Having said that, I'm wishing everybody a wonderful week ahead, and please God, we will be back same time, same place next week. This is Chai FM 101.9.